This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Well, a very happy new year, a happy 2019 to all of our lovely listeners to the Chelsea Fancast. Obviously, we've had a bit of a break while the Christmas and New Year celebrations have been going on. But the weekend before New Year, we met up with our mates on the London is Blue podcast, who were over for their annual pilgrimage to West London to see the mighty Blues. And in the process, we met up with them at the Classic Football Shirts shop, which is in the East End, very near Brick Lane, to have a good old chat, a bit of a live podcast. There were some great people who were very good enough to come along. Many of them were on the trip that the boys organise, as well as some people who listened to both shows who wandered along to have a beer, all free, courtesy of the lovely Classic Football Shirts people. Anyway, in the process, we all sat around a big table, had a good chat, not really about the current football, actually. It was more to do with the history of Chelsea's shirts, which is a very interesting subject for most people. And, of course, all of the kind of stuff about what the differences are between being a supporter who supports Chelsea in the States compared to us lot, who, of course, are very lucky that we can go pretty much to every match. So, fantastic evening had by all. Great to see the boys, as always. Apologies to our listeners who have already jumped on their platforms and listened to this already. But there you go. You know, I insisted on having it on our platform too. And, of course, I'm lazy, so mine came out later than theirs. But there you go. Anyway, we'll be back on Friday, January the 4th, with our Love Sport radio show from 7 o'clock to 9 p.m. And that'll be with me and Jonathan. And then on Monday, January the 7th, we'll be back with the normal Monday night Chelsea Fancast at 7 o'clock, of course, live on Mixlr and then as a podcast. And that'll have me, Jonathan, Dan Silver and Tony Glover, no doubt reporting back on the FA Cup match against Nottingham Forest. But in the meantime, get your ear rolls around this. The London is Blue Chelsea Fancast live podcast mashup with me, Jonathan Kidd, Dan Silver, Clayton Bierman, and of course, Dan Dormer, Brandon Busby, Nick Villani, and the lovely Mike from London is Blue, all live with an audience from the Classic Football Shirts shop in London. Enjoy.
Awesome. Well, real quick, I guess, just welcome everyone to Classic Football Shirts and obviously to the London is Blue / Chelsea Fancast live pod.
Very American. Woo, woo, woo. Could do that.
A huge thank you to everyone that's here. A huge thank you to our friends, our local fellow podcasters for hanging out with us. This is our third year we've been doing this. Yeah. And it's
thanks for the payment. That's really appreciated.
In advance, as always. Yeah.
Good.
The beer was taken care of this
time. In news
time.
Notes
impressive.
As well.
Yes, we did.
Euros, not dollars.
Stable.
Is that still going to work currency. In a couple months?
No, not for us. We'll be having the notes in wheelbarrows soon.
Just giving them away. Just out of curiosity, who's local from the UK here? Nice. All right. And then non-UK, everyone else? Wow. That's pretty.
Hello, friends.
That's awesome. So thanks, everyone. I guess a big cheers to everyone that's out there. So
a lot of people raised their hands from outside.
Yeah. Well done.
Yeah. If not for you, this would not happen.
Exactly. All right. Well, I guess we'll just run down the table real quick because a lot of times voices don't match faces in the podcasting world. So we'll kick it off. Dan Silves, Chelsea Fancast, next to Dan Dormer. Don't know why we did that.
That's a bad
idea. Dan.
Double Dan.
That was Dan Silves. Yeah. This is Dan Dormer.
Basically, one's English, one's American.
Yeah. I think you'll figure it out.
Yeah. Work that out. Obviously, Brandon with the London's Blue.
Chidge, of course.
I'm Jonathan.
Clear tone.
That's his real voice.
I'm Mike.
I'm Nick.
Unsurprising. That's our group, obviously. Just want to make sure everyone that's not here in person is aware of who all is here and what's going on. A huge shout out to Classic Football Shirts as well. So if you guys don't know, they are supporting us. Not only is a sponsor, but is a gracious host in their awesome store. I was actually a customer way back when. I've gotten one of the Samsung mobile training tops from online, and now that I'm here in the store, and they put together an entire rack of only Chelsea kits for us. Nice. And that is over there in the corner, and we will be going through that as well to put any gaps in the collection, which I think we can start with that. It's a little bit of a more of an American thing than a local fan thing, the kit collection.
It's a good question, that, because...
You haven't got anything, have you? Any shirts?
No, I have got a few.
You used to, you said.
I've got a few. I mean, I kind of famously bought one as a protest.
It's an interesting form of protest.
Yeah, it was about 2001 or two, but we had a player who you will know more recently as the ex-manager of Fulham, Slavisa Jokanović.
He was one of the worst players ever.
Exactly. He was absolutely awful.
He was called Joke on the Pitch.
And...
We groan whenever he was announced.
He was awful. He was just awful. But I bought it would have been an autoglass shirt, I think. And I basically did what I promised myself I would never do. But I had number 10 on the back, because that was Jokanović's number, and I put Chidge at the top. And the protest was, even I'm a better number 10 than that prick. Which is probably true, actually, frighteningly enough. So there you go.
I remember a dreadful moment when he tried to control the ball on the goal line and then beat a player on the goal line who just kicked it in the goal. What a surprise. Mm. We went completely berserk. Yeah.
But I mean,
hatred.
Back in the day, you know, because I mean, shirts have been around a lot longer than people think. People think it's quite a modern phenomenon, but it's not really. I mean, there were shirts kicking around in the 80s, for God's sake.
Well, everybody had to wear a shirt, Chidge, otherwise...
No, football shirt. Replica. Oh,
right. It's not a shirts and skins game, right? Yeah. That's not how it's playing.
Yeah. Clayton would take the shirt off my back. But, there were replica shirts going on in the 80s, but there was a real split in those days between people who wore shirts and people who didn't. And quite often, if you were going away, you really would not want to be, as we call it, wearing colours. You would want to be incognito so that you didn't get a slap. So, you know, I still
do that.
You still do that?
Yeah.
I think a lot of our generation
But people
do,
want to slap you for other reasons, John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, a lot of our generation, and, we're all in our 50s, we will not wear shirts, but we will wear 60s. A badge. Quite often we'll wear a small badge. You know, we show our allegiance that way. And that does hark back to the 80s, I think.
I always wear a T-shirt, but I cover it up.
I've got a T-shirt on. Look,
yeah, me too, yeah.
Chelsea T-shirt.
I've got a bit of red in mine, but it's for a fantastic player. Look, it's for Cahill.
Nice. Oh, wow.
Because I'm a fan of Cahill's, despite everybody hating him. So.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, for us, obviously, it's much more of a newer revelation, I think, for us. Dan, the American... did a good job throwing together some of the interesting kind of dates and times of Chelsea's kit history. So just to set the scene, in 75-76, Umbro became the first name brand kit manufacturer for Chelsea, and they would return later for another 15-year stint from 87 to 05-06 season. In between there, 2006, Adidas took over from Umbro, and then 2017... as we all know, Nike, or Nike, has now taken over.
Just really? Do it, Chish. Yeah, just
really,
do it.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah, so, they could just do one.
There was, there was a period where Coq Sportif.
Yes.
Yeah?
Le Coq Sportif.
And not forgetting Chelsea Collection, our very own label.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And I think Bukta may have had a go.
Did they?
Yeah. Sure.
I think so.
And Gola. No,
no,
I'm just... I'm throwing names in.
In my mildly extensive research, which was probably about 30 minutes, I did not see that.
No. No.
Okay.
30 whole minutes.
You must have been buying some
Hockey
kits,
I know that's
kind
of crazy.
Yeah. Well, they weren't Chelsea kits.
They
bought
say
other kits.
We don't do research on this show.
Surprise. Some other things. So I'm just going to label off some stuff. You guys interject as it like brings back memories, right? Because I think that's what we associate with the kits. I mean, we all remember exactly what we wore in 2012 when we won the Champions League. Mm-hmm. The Adidas with the thick white on the on the sleeves and kind of the two-tone pad like stripe hoops, I guess, across it. So, 83-84 Gulf Air becomes the first kit sponsor for the end of the 83-84 campaign. Anything? Was
well,
that a big surprise, a
well,
big change?
No, but that was
Coq Sportif.
Yeah, that was the Coq Sportif. Okay. That was the kind of slightly lighter blue, but with the red stripes.
Yeah.
That's one of my favourite kits.
Yeah.
In fact, weirdly, I have a replica shirt of that, one of the few I own, because that's one of my favourite seasons. That's when we went up, isn't it, in Kerry, all that.
That was a brilliant season. I mean, we'd endured decades of dross, and then all of a sudden we blossomed into this fantastic side. But that and that kit, which at the time I actually hated, because I'm very much a traditionalist. I loved just the plain blue top, and this had red and white hoops, and then the away kit was yellow with blue and red hoops.
Wonderful.
And at the time didn't like it at all, but now I really like that kit, and I think that's all about the memory, because the football that year was just like it was like we'd awakened from the dark ages, and we were playing some amazing football, and you had people like Pat Nevin, Kerry Dixon, and it was a wonderful season. So that's
why Mickey Thomas there that year.
Yeah, he joined in December, or January.
Completely wonderful player.
Yeah,
he was.
So
but the great thing about that particular kit, there were three versions of it, weren't there? It was the blue one, the yellow one, and
The white one was lovely.
Yeah, and the little kind of red stripes around the socks and stuff. It's real. That is for me still my favourite kit.
Compare it with the current kit with its little bits in it, and you think,
well, that's horrible.
It's abysmal.
There's no comparison, is there?
It's like paint flex.
But guys, I'm curious. Yeah, I'm curious as to why you started at 76, which actually, having lied a minute ago saying that the 83-84 kit was my favourite, I have a real soft spot for the 77, you know, the Umbro kit with the Umbro badges, you know, down the side, because that's when I kind of first really fell in love with the club. So that's a real favourite of mine. But why have you not gone, you know, before 76?
Only because that was when they first had an official manufacturer.
Because it was a sponsor.
Exactly.
Right. But who did the kit then with the V-neck with the slight red in it that the Greaves wore in 60-61?
I'm getting there, mate. Look, here we go.
Those are all internally designed. Like, they weren't necessarily it wasn't like a named kit manufacturer.
Did you go around to the sports shop around the corner and say,
Fred,
give us 25 shirts. Like this, we'll stitch the badges on.
Yeah, that's probably. You know, look at our first kit. I mean, I know this is great radio.
Seafoam green.
No, that was the Earl of Cadogan's green, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was his racing colours.
And that was 05, 07, 1905.
Jonathan, you've got to remember seeing.
That's why we have expertise in here.
But the world was all black and white then. You couldn't tell, actually.
What about this one, Dan Silves, the British Down? We had three sponsors in one season. Remember that with in 86, Ken Bates' is Grange Farms by Lynn T.
Yeah.
Later proven to be snake oil, according to
Glanville.
To Glanville. Yeah. And then Simond, an Italian sportswear.
Simond.
If you say so.
Simond. Yeah. Simond, yeah.
We say potato, they say potato.
Yeah.
That's the joke. Because that age, I used to get a kit every year for Christmas or birthday.
So did you have to get three?
No, I only got one.
Which one did you get?
I got the unsponsored one.
In between.
I think from memory, the club shop used to be this little thing as you go into the way of the main gate. So now it used to be like a little corner shop, and it had very little to choose from. It was only more recently done the mega store, but I got every year Christmas Chelsea tracksuit, Chelsea top, and that was a highlight.
You're so spoiled, Ben.
I remember a source of kit was Frank Blunston's sports shop in Battersea. Frank Blunson, of course, having been the winger,
I wasn't allowed
18-year-old winger, when Chelsea had won the championship in 1954-55, and he had to retire with a knee injury when he was 28.
Because a lot of players after football went to sports shops.
Because there was
pubs.
A Wally Barnes, he played for Arsenal in the 40s. He had a sports shop in Chiswick, which I remember being taken to by my father to get a pair of football boots. Yeah. I've still got them. They're those sort of... there's that hobnail boots with you wouldn't have any metatarsal problems because they're just completely.
You've got the old dubbing out.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. What's have you? But they're just the toe cap is just metal practically. Yeah.
So I think my first pair of boots were hand-me-downs to my cousin. They might be Gola, and they're about three sizes too big, so I look like a clown.
but I remember going and buying the 1966. Semi-final kit.
Only worn once.
Well, only worn once because we lost 2-0 to Sheffield. It was Inter Milan.
Inter
Milan kit. And I have that. And I don't. Yeah. I haven't got the shirt.
They used to sell it.
I've got it. I've got it. I bought a replica one.
I have a picture of me.
Sorry, can you guys see this?
There we go. It looks like it's an Inter Milan kit.
Why they played in that, who knows? But they played in that and lost ignominiously to Sheffield Wednesday. And Jim McCalliog, who'd been playing for us earlier in the season, scored for them. Of course, it was humiliating. And I have an unfortunate picture by a hydrangea at home, and the hydrangea is upstaging me, and I'm just there.
There's another, talking of away kits, one of my all-time favourites, and again, this is one that they used to sell in the store before it became Night Town.
Yeah.
Is the 74-75 away kit, which looks like the Hungary kit of that era.
Oh,
you see that?
Oh, that's a cracking
kit. A lot of my generation absolutely love
thing
that.
Of
could you describe
beauty.
It for the listener?
Yes, it's a white-based jersey with a red and green parallel stripe
in the middle, yes, and the badge reflects the colours.
The badge
as
would
well.
Be in green,
yes, and the socks.
The socks are they're green,
yes,
with a small white and red trimming.
Oh, that's attractive.
A bit like Christmas.
Yes, lovely.
Really hope the people who were looking at that kit were not colourblind, because
that's
that
true.
Is a
for those of you watching in black and white. Yeah,
it was done deliberately for colourblind opposition.
They could also search on Google Castrol GTX, which was an oil, and basically the can looked like.
And Portugal rolled out, it was like 2 years ago, their away kit was that exact same.
Yeah. But another interesting thing is, because you must be aware of this as well, there's always this huge debate every time we have a new kit when people say, there's too much red in it. There's no red in Chelsea.
I like red.
Yeah, well, if you go through this website, by the way, this is historicalkits.co.uk, so it's well worth a look. Yeah.
It's good because there are. You can click and buy it from Classic Football.
Exactly. Look, see, you know, do I get commission for that?
It all comes full circle.
Anyway, the bottom line is, look how many red away kits we've had.
Can I make a point, please? There's
loads
red in the badge.
Loads of them.
It's in the badge.
I think for us, though, too, it's a great opportunity because this is where... well beyond any American's, you know, recollection of Chelsea. And this is where we can dig in and learn and see a lot of it. I mean, some of these, like, away and third kits are absolute scenes.
What was happening with the Commodore away kits? And
look at this one. Look at this one. Look at this.
It had the Commodore away kit. It had, like, the laces on top of the kit.
Like the Czech Republic.
Red and white checks.
It was
striped. Diamonds.
It had the ones with these blue...
So you could tie it.
Yeah,
You mean the home kit?
No, the away kit. It was a
this one.
I like the hoops.
No, it was white with red thick stripes. Do they have the little strings at the top?
Oh no, that's.
I know which one you're talking about. That's deep kit.
This one.
That's really awesome.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, I had that one.
That's for those listening at home again.
Describe it, Jonathan.
It's
there is a general for me abhorrence in red. Anything that's red is just deeply unpleasant.
But why? It's in the badge.
No, I'm not looking. It looks like pyjamas.
It's pyjamas. Red and white thin pinstripe, blue collar, reflected in the badge in the same way, big red lion, red shorts, and little blue cuffs.
But all of that pales into insignificance when you look at that, which is without doubt the worst kit we've ever had.
Is this
part of the Chelsea collection?
Which one is this?
This is Jade.
Jade.
This is all jade. And this was, I think, not only was it deeply unpleasant, but I think we were also particularly rubbish as well when we wore that.
Is that the kit we lost 6-0 to QPR wearing?
I'm not sure what day. I tried to. I went to a clinic to have that.
But do you remember? Do you remember the home version of that?
Yeah.
Which was basically with blue, but with the white kind of trimmings.
Yeah. Mm.
And it looked like it was a knockoff kit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the hilarious thing about it. I mean, you look at the kits today and they are, you know, incredible what they do to them. But Bates was such a cheapskate then. It looked like he'd, like, knocked them, his missus had knocked them up in the shed or something.
I got one, as I said, for my birthday. I mean, the first wash, it was like white bubbles everywhere because it was so cheap and
awful.
Nasty. I'm talking bad away, guess who remembers the tangerine and graphite?
Well, that's, but that's 50-50. Some people love that.
I love that.
Yeah. I'm in on that.
It's relevant that. Again with this third kit. Yeah, obviously, he's inspired, but I think missed sorely the mark.
I loved it. That's the tangerine and graphite.
I had that kit with Frank Sinclair on the back because he was my favourite player.
But this kit, awful. You see, this goes back to memories because a lot of photos with that kit, a Rude Hullet.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And so there's a lot of affection. It is a disgusting kit, to be honest.
Wait, could Rude Hullet wear the J kit and be acceptable?
Rude Hullet could wear like a potato sack. Exactly.
But you've got to say that no other team would have them, so there was a kind of individual view
of
a colour clash.
There's quite a lot of orange in there for Rude. He'd have liked that.
He liked orange, of course.
I mean, every kit's got a memory, hasn't it?
It has.
The Four Members Cup one.
Yeah, which was the white one. The white cup sportif.
Zenith Data Systems Cup, you know, the FA Cup,
I have a,
97.
A great memory of that kid. I was playing Rangers and Peacock, what was his first name?
Gavin
Peacock,
the
that's right, the Reverend.
Gavin,
smashing Peacock. Into the board, I was sitting with a Rangers mate, and this bloke, he smashed and he was injured, and this bloke called him a wanker for the longest period I've ever heard anybody do it.
Like one long word?
No. He didn't go,
repetition.
He just went, he was with his girl, he went, wagga, 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 wagga. He was just down below us. He was below us. Wagga, 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 wagga. And his hand, he changed hands. He got cramp in that hand.
He got wanker's
cramp in that hand. And he changed hands. And he went, wagga, wagga, wagga. And meanwhile, poor old Peacock smashed into the board and everybody had come round and was dealing with him. I think he had rather a nasty injury. And his girlfriend eventually said, do you think you could stop that now, Darren? I think he knows. And then what I thought was rather remarkable was because he then ended up playing for Queen's Park Rangers for the next 3 years.
He was John transferred. Spencer, yeah, same time, yeah, didn't they? Yeah. Two and a half million quid.
Well, I mean, we had Coors, Autoglass, Fly Emirates. I think that's probably like a big change for us is like the Umbro Fly Emirates is like the beginning of most American Chelsea memories in that sense.
So that's what, 2004 kind of?
Right, I'm thinking Good Janssen in that kit sure. You see lamps in it, even.
Well, the title kit,
The title kit, that is it.
Cheech.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chich, I'd be bereft, inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live, it's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great. I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/ChelseaFancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Real fans, real opinions.
Jason Cundy, and you're listening to the Chelsea Football Fancast. Up the Chelsea!
Footballfancast.com.
You know, I think it's kind of interesting as we kind of look through the evolution of them as well. Like, it changes the design big time. Like, when you have Samsung, which is nice, clean block letters across the middle, to now we have Yokohama Tire, which has to have the red logo in there. I think it just changes it a little bit. To me, I loved Nike's home kit last year.
Oh, that was the best kit in years. Mm-hmm. That was that.
Well, it was a replica of the 66.
It was so plain, so simple, so beautiful. Yeah. And what a best kit for ages.
A perfect way to enter into the Chelsea fans kind of the realm by coming in and not doing the pajama kit as Chidge is looking at right now.
It doesn't have to be overproduced. Like, I think that's the challenge, is that they try to do so much with some of these kits to differentiate them or work off different templates, and just sometimes simple and an homage to what the history is and understanding, like, what is important about a kit is the right thing to do.
And to that point, when you go to this website, I think the thing that stands out is everyone has hated, I think universally hated Nike since they've come on as our kit manufacturer. Some of the Adidas kits are just god awful. Like, we have to be honest. Like, they're really, really bad.
I think the
lime green with the black and blue
awful.
Stripe with the black. What was that?
I mean, especially the away kits.
The Cup final. That yellow and blue kit was beautiful.
That was my favorite.
Yeah, I love that one. Great kit. Yeah. Really great kit.
See, you know, really, we need to have this kit, which is the 1968-70 kit, because there's no sponsors logo on that.
Which
it's
is
got
what?
The proper badge, and it's blue and it's white. But that, we are fucking dynamite. La 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 la. That's it. It's that simple, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's the kit last year was very, very close to that.
It's not far off, is it?
And so, sort of as a traditionalist, that I love that kit.
Yeah,
blue white.
And this year's monstrosity. Yeah.
This year's unpleasant.
You've got like a 5-year-old's gone mad with crayons.
Yeah.
It's awful.
It's not my favorite for sure, but let's talk about, like, if you had to choose one favorite, go down the line of, like, this is the kit I love and why. You know, again, memory, aesthetics, whichever you want. Mike, bringing you in, let us know. We'll just work down the line. And then the second one to give you some time to think about is, what is your dream kit scenario, which Chidge just spoiled for me? Kit manufacturer and sponsor, if any, would you want on there? That's part two. We'll go around first.
Yeah, first one, I'd have to say the 09-010, probably, I think it's the third kit. It's the navy with the black and the yellow. It was the first time I saw Chelsea live in Baltimore. And
2009-10. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I thought you meant
they're playing. No. Yes, yes. I'm 130.
We have not inherited a time machine.
He's got one that we wore just before the First World War.
The away. Yeah, yeah.
He avoided the mustard gas.
Yeah.
You had to wear a gas mask.
So it's very dark navy with really even a darker blue and that, like, brilliant yellow. And Chelsea wore it when they played AC Milan.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, in Baltimore.
Ah, right.
And that was back when when teams came to the U.S., they actually had real superstars.
Oh, yeah, it's a good kit.
I mean, there was Kaká, Pirlo, like, everybody you would want from Drogba. He smashed it. And that's when all the, you know, the U.S. tours went down from there. But
we call that the Menang kit.
Okay,
because we had some listeners at the time who were clearly from Indonesia or Malaysia, and they sent this email into us or a Facebook post, and it was in Malaysian or Indonesian, and the only word that we could really pick out was Menang. And the email finished with Chelsea, Menang, Menang, Menang. And I Google translated it and found out that it meant win.
Okay.
And we just went to town on this. And then some lad came over from the States, a guy called Alex, I think. And he brought, this is just before the Cup final, and he brought with us loads of these shirts with Menang on the back. We all wore them to that Cup final.
That's awesome.
So that's always been the Menang kit for me.
Yeah,
I've got it somewhere.
I have the long sleeve Drogba version of that.
Nice.
And it's
nice.
I love that kit.
Clayton, what about you?
Well, I'm going to go a bit off piste here because
as you may know, I love goalkeepers. So my favourite Chelsea kit is the Peter Bonetti green shirt with the black collar and black shorts. And he had these green gloves, which were thin cotton, which are laughable now. So that's my favourite Chelsea kit. I've got a replica of that shirt, and I absolutely love it. So that's from the sort of 70s. 1970s. Obviously, I was a baby then, and but that's my favourite Chelsea kit. But if I'm talking about home kits, then it would be the one 1970 Cup final kit, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, I mean, I can jump in with that. So I love the classic kind of green goalkeeper kit, and yeah. I like when I got into college, our coach was like, I don't care, pick whatever you want, and I was like, green without a doubt, like keep it simple. And to me, it's just it's iconic.
Okay, even so there's two things here. Goalkeepers should never ever wear anything other than green, yellow, or black.
Yeah.
And they should never, ever, ever, ever wear short sleeves. What is that all about? I don't understand that.
Wrong.
I can't look at Peter Cech in the short sleeves.
Short sleeves.
Brandon, would you wear short sleeves?
Yeah,
yes or no?
He's jilted, though, man.
He looks embarrassed, doesn't he?
Brandon, answer the question.
No, look, I'm a traditionalist. I am a huge fan of the long sleeves. Morgan can attest. I will wear long sleeves even when it's 85 degrees out. Like, it's just my comfort zone. But again, not about me. Let's continue on. Nick,
do you wear gloves as well?
Jump in. No. My summer gloves.
Very personal question, John. Yeah.
I do love the 08-09 yellow. I think it was the third kit that year that we won the FA Cup. I think that was the best yellow kit we've had for a really long time. If I had to pick a home kit, I think I would go with the 85 with the hoops. And the first time I saw that kit was on the cover of Black and Blue, which is obviously famous book from our friend Paul Canaville. But I just kind of fell in love with that look. I think it's just so clean looking. It's beautiful.
Me, I'm being prodded here. I like that the 08-09 kit as well. It's a blue top and it's got three buttons and very high waisted white shorts with
knickerbockers
with black socks and a couple of white lines, because this is 1908-09, of course, when I first
watched
the Blues.
For those of you who don't know what on earth he's talking about, good luck. That's it.
That's the one. No, my favourite, I think, is when I first became sort of conscious about the Blues. My father used to take me when I was a baby. He used to just put me over the turnstile and stick me. I think it was his form of babysitting. And apparently I saw Jimmy Greaves score four goals. And I have no memory, of course, of it. But I remember going to the last game of the 62-63 season. But I'd been earlier in the season. But in particular, this was a very special one because we beat Portsmouth 7-0 to get promotion back into the first division. And so that kit sort of means something to me. And obviously the nice royal blue, because I think the blue has been mucked around with a bit. But with the collar, had those three little lines in it. In fact, it was a slightly lighter blue than that, with white shorts, but the socks were blue with a couple of white hoops.
Proper badge in them. As well.
Yeah, with a proper badge. So that's the one. That's the very one.
Bobby Tambling.
Bobby Tambling kit. And Bobby scored four goals that night, of course.
I've got a replica of that.
Have you?
Number eight on the back.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So that has a big significance to me, that kit. Yeah. Mm. I was 23 at the time.
So you were lying even in those days.
What was the weather that day? Can you tell us a little more?
Jake has completely muddied the water on how long he's been watching Chelsea, how old he might be.
He's basically the Earl of Cadogan.
If you were trying to piece it together at home, he just gave you 15 different clues that go in different directions.
Podfather, what about you?
Well, for me, it's quite difficult because I love the 77 kit, because that's when I first really fell in love with Chelsea and Ray Wilkins particularly, and it always reminds me of that. I just love those Umbro badges, the logo down the side of the shorts and the shirt. But I think it's really hard because that Le Coq Sportif one, I mean, the 80, I mean, when they're pretty much the same, aren't they? It's just different sponsors. Mm-hmm. But the 83 to 85... I adore that kit because, again, that's when I first started going. So it always reminds me of Kerry and that team. So I think probably Le Coq Sportif one. If I really had to be forced to choose, I would go for that one.
Yeah, so for me, again, comes back to the trophies for the most part. I'm a huge fan of the 2012 kit, not because it looks amazing from Adidas, but because of what happened in it. But being a massive Nike fan myself, I do really, really, really like last year's Nike kit. For me, partially is because since I've been watching Chelsea, it's been Samsung and a lot of different sponsors and tweaks and changes. And to me, this just got back to now that I've kind of been in my second decade of following Chelsea and I see more of the history and we get to, you know, come over and stop it. You know, Marco's stall, the CFC UK stall and everything, and get the books and start to learn, you know, about the history of Chelsea. To me, this kit is just, it puts the focus on the club and on the color and kind of what the team represents and less about commercial and the design of it. So for me, I really did just like the Nike because I felt like it was paying homage to the previous. And I don't have those memories from all those years past, but it was my way to kind of reach through the door and connect with those in that way. So
it was very revolutionary, that kit, because it represented that Chelsea had arrived as a force within the division, because Liverpool at the time changed from red with white shorts to all red. So for Chelsea to do it, that was actually a very significant gesture thing to be done at the time. So it wasn't that they just changed colours.
In the Tommy Dock did that, didn't
he? Yes, he did. Yeah. It did, because they were challenging for honours for the first time for years. Yeah. So it was actually a terrific.
Because there were three. I mean, you're right. Because I mean, Liverpool went from having, you know, red tops, white shorts to all red.
Everybody's very
Leeds
traditional.
Went from blue shorts to and white. No, top
Leeds,
to all
Leeds
white.
Had blue and yellow.
They
was,
did, didn't they?
Yes, that yeah. was.
But
the,
they went to
their
all
colour.
White.
They
to
went
copy Real
to copy Real Madrid.
And we went all blue apart from the socks, didn't we?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, Dan.
The Dan corner.
English Dan, American one, go.
Wasn't there a pop group called English Dan and John Ford Coley?
We're like Silly Dan.
Gosh.
Silly Dan.
The Dan Man. No, I think when we went to having Samsung as a sponsor, which was really awkward for me because
Samsung or Samsung Mobile?
Samsung Mobile.
Mobile.
So 2005, which I was also working. So I worked 10 years at Apple, which was really difficult because, like, you know, you'd go to work and you, like, you know, occasionally would throw it on the kit one day for work. People like, you're wearing a Samsung shirt at work? And it's like, oh, fuck you, man. Like, this is a team I like. It had the old, you know, gold accent. It was really nice. And, you know, we won some stuff in that year. So,
Dan,
I mean,
Dan, who did you tell the fuck off again?
Steve Jobs. You know, Johnny Ive. You know, Scott Forstall. You know, there's lots of stuff.
All right, we're gonna
see that coming.
Blowing past that. Dan Silves.
Well, the biggest thing for me is when Ruud Gullit changed our socks to white was it about 97, wasn't it? Because we used to have blue socks and Ruud changed them to white.
Again, we've gone back to blue, I think.
Yeah, we had white socks.
That was part
socks.
Of the Chelsea collection.
92, we went back to white socks.
Was it 92?
Yeah.
I thought it was under Gullit.
No.
No, okay, fine. Well, okay. Champions League kit, I think, just because that was incredible. Memory and the first title kit, the Emirates kit, which was fantastic.
Yeah. Right.
Super blue. I mean, because I had on the back of my Munich shirt, keep the blue flag flying high, but initials of Poo Gaines to be, what's that on the back of your shirt? And I said, keep the blue flag flying high. I'm like, oh, okay. So, yeah. And also, my first kit would have been 83-84 as well. That was my first kit.
So that's
my
the
first
Cox
season.
The
Cox
well,
Sportive, yeah.
Nice.
And the Chelsea collection tracksuit, which was blue, toweling, and had like yellow stripes, and it was sweated like you wouldn't believe in it because it was so cheap and nasty. But yeah.
All right. Well, I like it. If you had it your way, we'll just kind of just collectively. What colors would the kit? Would it be the all blue? Would it be the white socks? Would you have a sponsor on it? And do you care who makes it? Maybe an in club design? Leco? I'm a Kappa fan, personally. They've never touched Chelsea, but...
They're never going to touch Chelsea.
And I get that.
I'm glad you have a dream. It's nice to have a dream.
Why wouldn't they touch Chelsea?
If you wear Kappa, you're called a Kappa slapper.
Really?
Which is quite negative, yeah.
Well, I think financially they will not touch.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bring back Hummel, that's what I say.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Admiral.
Puma kit.
Admiral. That's
Admiral.
The one kit I really wish we'd had as an Admiral
back
kit.
To kits.
Because, you know, we never had one, did we? But they were really cool. Apart from the Coventry Shipbrown one.
That was awful, yeah. We had the away kit black with the orange, very thin orange stripes. That was quite nice as well.
Yeah.
That was a really good kit. Yeah. I had a Fernando Torres one, but I've mislaid it.
Yeah. You burnt it, Dan.
No.
You could be, you're amongst friends, mate.
It apparently fell to pieces in the box at home.
Oh. Every time with those witty one-liners.
It shrunk, mate.
No. All right. Anything else, I guess, from brands or, you know,
if it were up to me, yellow would always be our away kit.
Yeah, I
love
that.
Yeah.
And like the away kit this season is the best of the three kits.
The yellow one.
But I'd like
what's
us
that?
To play.
What's the third kit that we've got this season?
I'm glad you said that. I don't like it at all.
It's dreadful.
Anyone in the audience? Big fan? No?
Who likes the third kit? Raise your hand.
It's okay. Be proud.
But if they had done it gray, it would have at least.
It's this Man City blue.
It's
doesn't know what blue. It is.
It's like it's not even Man City blue. It's like bird shit white.
Yeah. But the fans were involved.
No. The fans were involved with the fourth version of the kit that looks like some absolute Halloween monstrosity that was cobbled together from groupthink.
Dan, this is exactly, and I love you all, trust me, but this is exactly why fans should never have any say in anything.
No, we're terrible. Leave us out of it.
You end up with a fucking camel.
Can I just say, talking kits, that kit is cool. The Champions League
season
kit. That was
Well, that's a centenary kit, isn't it?
No, it was a Champions League kit. Centenary kit was earlier than that. That was.
You sure that's not 2005?
No,
it's a bit like if you get fans to pick the team, you'll end up with the same kind of disaster.
Yeah.
So stay away.
But
my objection is that if you have the three kits, is that they have to then be wheeled out certain games in the season where you don't need to have an away kit or a third kit, like against Wolves the other day. What on earth?
The worst one was against that team that plays at Wembley at the moment when we turned up in yellow when we were basically playing against a team in white. Because obviously blue clashes massively with white, doesn't it?
Yeah, but they felt we haven't sold enough, haven't they?
I've got a question for this live audience. Because one thing I've not been able to... They're still alive, a few of them are. There's a few asleep, to be fair, but you know, they're not quite dead yet. There's this new idea about these kits, which I haven't quite got my head around, which is apparently it's like wired into a chip or something.
It's interactive.
Connected. Yeah.
It's interactive. Can one of you young people explain to me what on earth that is all about and what the attraction is?
Eric.
He said young.
We said young.
Nothing.
Okay, I like this man. Get this man a beer right now. Where's
two.
Ben, what do you reckon of this? Is it a good idea or what? I don't get my
third kit in the
one with the...
Yeah, what does it do?
I think it's a bit shit.
Good man.
But is it interactive? Does it sort of, you know, tell you when we've scored or something or give a message to your phone or you don't know?
I ain't got the kit. I'm wasting my money on that shit.
Okay, good.
There is hope for the future with kids. Well,
there is, but I... Such bad language from such a young man.
I wonder where he learnt it from.
Dreadful.
Who did he learn that off?
Probably not from the Chelsea Fancast.
Probably. No, we've cleaned up our act, I'll have you know.
Well, you have to go on radio now. You have to be a little more
presentable. Well, I've cleaned up my act. I can't speak for the Tony Glover, obviously. Right.
I have a question. I'm a huge fan of the white socks, and I almost have I almost groan when I see the all when we go out in all blue.
So you really like the orange socks with the third kit?
No, nothing.
Looks like Everton.
Because I feel like we put up some really poor performances when we wear the blue socks.
Do you think the players are influenced by the kit?
No.
No, but it's something that I noticed. Like for me, it's the white socks, and obviously, you know, having come in around.
They tend to do it when...
That's, you know, been what I've seen.
For
but
sure.
I'm curious from everyone here, is it blue socks, is it white socks,
white.
Or does it not matter?
No, it's got to be
no, it's
white.
Always white, but they only wear blue when they're clashing with opposition socks.
Yeah, it's only be blue away from home. Yeah.
But there was that thing that was doing the rounds a few years back, wasn't there, where we would always lose if we played in the black kit. And
that was,
everybody was very against the black away kit, weren't they?
What was the other kit that nobody wanted to have anything to do with? Was it the fluorescent yellow? Which the people kept passing to the stewards.
No, it was that weird green thing. Uh-huh. The weird green thing.
Was it?
The bogey coloured green kit.
I think that's one of the worst kits of the last 10 years, for sure.
It matters, though.
Although
stuff
Kepa's
matters.
Kit this year is almost blinding. That green is hard to look at.
Oh, you mean really blinding? You mean difficult to see? you mean great.
Well, isn't there some sort of psychological thing that basically you put the goalkeepers in a very, very garish colour? Because it sort of distracts the strikers.
Yeah.
There was a I can't remember, maybe somebody here can remind me, there's one of the lower division sides, they were doing some sort of psychological experiment. Yeah. They had their goalkeeper wearing the most appalling, like somebody had been sick. You know, it's just like that. And it did it put people off.
Well, they say orange. That's why Czech used to wear an orange kit. But if you think, you know, we laugh and joke about kits, and we all have our preferences. But you know, the club spends millions of year of pounds, you know, researching this stuff. And you know, there's a school of thought or a theory that says that, particularly in the Asian market, they prefer people who play in red, yeah, because red is the colour of winning.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do not be surprised if this bunch of idiots that run our club somewhere in the next 5 years decide that we should play in red because they can sell a few more shirts in Asia. You heard it here first.
That didn't go down very well with Cardiff.
Red with blue trim.
Right. Yeah. That's what
they'll do it. If they think they can make money out of it, they'll do it.
They'll do a red away kit possibly.
I'd like us to see us to do like real retro kits, like to have Nike redo some of the really classic kits, not allude to it, not kind of throw some impartial stripes, but
1970
do a real
final kit with the white collars. That's beautiful, easy to do, yeah.
Exactly,
very easy to do.
But there must be some sort of market research that has told Nike that they won't sell them, because as a fan, those kits for me are beautiful, and I buy them. But they don't sell them. I'm not their market.
No, they're not. You know, they'll sell 4,000 to match game Chelsea fans versus 100,000 in wherever it might be.
So they'll do what sells.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the point is that all of these kits, however awful they are, they will sell.
Yeah.
Because people buy them. And we go every week and we see stadiums full of people wearing this rubbish. Yeah.
So the summary is that kits are a business.
Yeah, completely.
Well, yeah, because that's what they pay us. £25 million a year to.
That's how you decide who you sign, who sells. Yeah. That's not a thing. No.
But people wear everything except.
How they've exponentially the years increased. Like how we paid that, where we paid out Adidas to buy them out of our contract to get Nike on board. It's crazy money.
Looks like our research team did not put the figures in. So I
think it was like a $10 million buyout.
He's guessing. So no, I'm kidding. Anyways,
it was a lot of money.
It was a ton of money, and I think the third largest kit deal around.
It was at the time, I think.
All right. Yeah. Well, to flip this around and to kind of wrap it up, I just want to know in the audience: is there anything that immediately jumps to mind? Like, this is the kit. This is my favorite Chelsea kit. That you know you want to brag. Obviously, Eric was bragging with the gold trim kit, which I think a lot of us can appreciate. Mm-hmm. Anything that we haven't mentioned that maybe we should talk about? It's blue, it's good.
No, we're perfect. We nailed it all.
Awesome. All right.
Oh,
we got one.
Oh, let's do it.
Well, I just think kits got tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter. Which, you know, I don't know if that's like a player.
It's not Arsenal nipple tight yet.
Yeah,
so
it's
I think we're
right. It's kind of, yeah. Especially something like grabbing shirts and stuff like that. Because even like, 2006 kit, you could literally grab something and have it, like, you know.
That's why I had to go away from Adidas, because you were basically like ripping it off
literally,
the players. Like Diego Costa had a couple of those
that.
Things,
like
it's like shredding.
Yeah.
I mean, so obviously there's a lot of sports performance in that, right? More streamlined, like we're talking milliseconds faster to the ball, and you said not being able
except
to grab.
Except for the shorts, because the shorts were micro shorts before.
the Chelsea collection were like budgie smugglers.
Yeah.
They were so tight.
They were.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because they shrunk in the water.
Basically, yeah, it's Kerry Dixon, you know, top of his thighs by his hips. You know, he didn't really, you know.
One go-go shorts.
One wrong turn, it's all fine.
Is that why Kerry's gone up an octave?
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, well, I'd love it. I think we'll go ahead and wrap up the kit talk for our live audience. We're actually going to take a quick 5-minute break. We're going to restructure, and when we come back, we're actually going to be talking about Chelsea in 2022, projecting where we'll be, and a little bit about the fans, as most of this room and most of our audience is not from the UK.
We don't hold that against you.
No.
Thank you.
And that's what we want to hear.
Apart from Alex Goldberg.
Is it all right? Can we coexist? Can we be friends? And can we still drive Chelsea to where we want them to be?
Yeah.
All right. Be right back. Woo!
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.